Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So Electricity Minister Hosea Nzuramokgopa gave his weekly briefing about the state of our electricity and energy in the country, and he warned that load reduction is going to be hampering efforts of energy inequality. On the line with us is Professor Samson Mampweli, Head of Energy Secretariat and SANEDI. Thank you so much, Prof, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and the listeners.
You are obviously, we've all been watching the minister give his weekly briefing. Some good thoughts that came from this particular one. Energy availability is better than we've seen it in a long, long time. Are we on the right track, Prof?
Yes, we are definitely on the right track. The minister also indicated that the performance of the coal fleet was at a much higher level than what was expected. You'll recall that Eskom released their winter outlook projections some time ago, and through those projections, they indicated that we might have at a minimum stage 2 load shedding and at a maximum stage 5 load shedding. And we've gone through the winter and up until now without having load shedding, close to 80 days on the winter side of things without load shedding. So we are definitely on the right track, and the performance of the fleet has been hovering above 60% energy availability factor, sometimes getting up to 70% energy availability factor, with some power stations performing much, much better than before. And the encouraging part is that some of those power stations are power stations such as your Medupi and Kusilo, which are basically part of the new build program.
So he specifically mentioned the Eskom board strategic plan, saying, you know, they've done well here. I just want us for a bit of time talk about that board, the new executive at Eskom, because we have not been discussing it for a while. And before this minister, there was always a lot of attention on the success or non-success of the leadership at Eskom. Just your thoughts on this leadership, which I suspect we're not giving enough credit to.
Yeah, so it's a highly competent board in my view. They came in and basically continued working closely with the Minister of Electricity, obviously now the Minister of Energy and Electricity, in implementing the President's Energy Action Plan, which then became the bigger part of their compact that they gave to the Eskom executives in terms of for them to be able to implement, and they've been providing proper oversight because they've been focusing, in my view, on the improvement on the generation recovery plan, which is the Eskom generation recovery plan that is being given by the CEO and the head of generation, Ms. Tangomalo, as well. So it's proper leadership that they have displayed so far. At the back of that, we should not forget that when they came in, already the Energy Action Plan was there, the Generation Recovery Plan was there. What they are doing themselves is basically to ensure that those two are properly implemented, and to ensure that there is that particular oversight on the management for them to be able to implement this particular plan. Credit must also go largely to the minister himself, because when he came in, the energy availability sector of the coal fleet was sitting at around 41%. And he worked very closely with Eskom, having been given that opportunity by the former minister, Pravin Gordhan, of public enterprises, and also the former minister of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, Mr. Gwede Mantashe. They allowed him that opportunity and that space to operate and work closely with Eskom to deal specifically with load shedding and be able to deal with the coal fleet issue after government has given ESCOM a relief in the form of the 256 billion that they made available for them to be able to resolve or to service their debt. So all those efforts, including the fact that there was proper, very closely monitored oversight by the minister, and also his advisor. I must also give credit to him, because in most cases people don't give credit to people like ministers, advisors or people who in positions of authority. In this case, the minister's advisor basically went beyond the advisory role into the looking closely into the operations of ESCOM, engaging various stakeholders as well and things like that. So he kind of helped the minister as well in terms of dealing with this particular problem. And maybe that the minister at the end kept his close advisor going forward as well.
Prof, he did mention the difficulties that are faced by municipalities. Obviously, you've just mentioned, all their efforts, the Energy Action Plan that was, and the Energy Generation Recovery Plan, all that ESCOM is doing itself. But at some point, it's got to meet where municipalities are able to deliver this electricity. So what people are experiencing now, the load reduction as a result of infrastructure that's failing at municipality level. ESCOM did get the bailout, as you rightfully said, 256 billion, but municipalities are struggling. First of all, in Johannesburg, we are now bickering about the 200 surcharge. And so how do we then bridge that gap? Because until municipalities themselves get their act together, we're probably not going to see the benefits of ESCOM's efforts.
So basically what needs to happen is that municipalities need to be run better. Most municipalities that are struggling, what happens is that it's not because they are not being able to collect revenue.
Mm.
They are able to collect the revenue, and then they redirect that revenue to solve other issues,
yeah,
or other problems within,
yeah,
the municipalities without necessarily focusing on the electricity infrastructure. The revenue that they collect is meant for primarily continued provision of electricity to the residents within their municipal areas. And that on its own comes with the responsibility of servicing their distribution network, which includes the substations, which include the lines, which includes the transformers. And then they can get a little bit of what we call the minimum allowable profit, which is what they can take into their municipal coffers and then solve other problems. So what happens in the end is that most municipalities are in financial distress because they are not run properly. And then they end up digging into this revenue, and then they use this revenue to cover other municipal services as opposed to doing what they're supposed to be doing with this particular revenue. So the minister is right, then the municipalities need to get their act together. The issues around load reduction, they need to be able to increase the size of the transformers. They need to deal with illegal connections. In some cases, they just need to legally connect those communities so that they don't continue with illegal connections, and then they can pay for usage of electricity. And then these municipalities can then get the resident and necessary revenue that they need from these communities.
Appreciate it. Professor Sam Sampueli, Head of Energy Secretariat and SANEDI.
Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
So MEC's Boniso Duma called together previous MECs of transport in KZN to discuss a few things that were outstanding from their tenure, and they made some progress. He's on the line with us this evening to just discuss just some of the things that they went through. MEC, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Ms. Matoni. Thank you for affording us the opportunity to continue to listen to us as well.
It looks like the strategic planning session was quite successful. Let's talk about some of the things that came through at that session.
In the main, we had to deal with the cornerstone. I'm sure you're all aware that transport becomes the iota, whatever you want to develop, whether light industries, factories, clinics, schools, you'll always require an infrastructure called transport.
Mm.
for the proper networking as well. So it must be designed accordingly. These days, there is the issue of global warming. We have invited the academias of notes, the cost patents, who's a fundi, who's a mathematician, who's familiar with the scope. We also invited Professor Tulu, who's also have an extensive experience when it comes to social mobility in the province. Amongst those who are invited are the former MSCs, the General Digital and former MSC Premier as well. So we have to delve deeper on what will develop the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We boast with a 600-kilometer coastline of the ocean, but into an entry that leads to the harbor, both at Tarini and Richards Bay Harbor. So we want to develop a strategy where this becomes a construction site going forward for the 2030 outlook posture of the GDP to grow.
You also tackled issues of projects that just were not completed, dating back to 2009. Were you able to get clarity on why the delays have been happening in the province?
Among the many, you'll find that from time to time, we used to, we're weak when it comes to the changing of leadership. When Pamela is in charge, she will come present the outlook. When Duma comes, probably from time to time, we want to enhance the scope, even neglecting some of what has been done. But we've juxtaposed, agreed that from now onwards, let us take the maintenance plan, let us do the routine audit of what is there on the ground so that we could finish the old. Because the problem of the road, you build the road, you don't finish, it's always starting the process of being already dilapidated in the process. The time you can't want to complete it already, what you started has been destroyed. So we want to enhance the scope in Bambara. We also invited Sandrand. We also invited Transnet, because we've been planning in silos as this government. So we can't afford that. What is destroying our roads and road network in the province is the issue of the failure to expand the rails. The rail infrastructure has been shut down, has been compromised. So the coal, what you see taken to Richards Bay, is coming back to our roads, which is not strong enough to sustain 400 trucks on a regular basis that's supposed to be on the rail. And Sandra, at the same time, is developing the structure where, if it's enhanced enough, it will talk direct to our development. So I think we're planning and also collaborated with the joint committee. Fortunately enough, this evening, a nice engagement in the NCP with the Minister of State in principle that we'll have to bring up.
One of the things you mentioned earlier on was the fact that there needs to be more collaboration with, as you said, it cuts across, you know, education, police, everywhere. And the Minister of Police made mention of, you know, the construction mafia being something that he wants to tackle. You are saying that you also want to make sure that you can make the environment conducive to fast-track the emerging entrepreneurs entering the construction industry, in particularly dealing with the construction of roads. Just talk to me about how you plan to do that with the kind of challenges that we have, as I mentioned, of construction mafia, for instance.
We must tighten the scope of social facilitation. What developed and what destroyed our infrastructure is the combination that when you buzzard an issue that Pamela construction is going to get this road, if you have not prepared the ground, whether in a rural area or urban stream, the communities must be aware there is the allocation of 80% in each and every project, because we don't want to develop just one cartel or the monopolies. Other people must also benefit, because we know now the bit of this low usage of construction matter, they are business forum. There are those who extort people, they go on site and extort money. Those are criminals, and we must deal with them. On the same breath, you've got service providers who collaborate and go to the company that sells cements, they fix the price and all those things in a sucky manner. That's a serious white collar crime that must also be dealt deeply with it. So I think we're at that space that as a government, because we've got a buying power, it is as we are going to transform the issue of construction in particular. So those who are in the system already must empower others. And in some instances, you must force them. You can't just give one company a project value of 550 million without giving or without setting aside 30% of all that. The emerging companies must also benefit in the process so that they could grow. Government has that duty, otherwise women, youth, people living with disability are not going to participate and play a pivotal role in changing the outlook of the economy. So they'll always become followers. It is our government, we are duty bound, that let us extend a helping hand in those and addressing the impacts of the past, also dealing with the issue of unemployment in our areas.
Mm. KZN is vast, and one of the challenges KZN has is the size of the rural areas that KZN has. And students walking, for instance, for miles on end trying to get to the nearest school. And again, this is not necessarily your problem alone. It's also the problem of, for instance, Department of Health for those who go to the clinics, Department of Education for those who go to school. I see a lot of emphasis has gone into road construction and constructions of infrastructure. I want to talk about facilitation of transporting people who are far from facilities, schools, clinics and the like. What are your discussions with those departments around facilitating these better, where you can assist maybe and collaborate with Scholar Transport and those kinds of things?
Thank you so much. We do offer Scholar Transport, but the reality is that, as you are referring to, the issue of the topography is, amongst other things, the geographical allocation. You go to Mkanyagu, the district, you will find that others will go to school even if government has not participated in the allegation of providing meals at schools. Those kids are going to suffer. It is this government as well who must be mindful that you cannot have a people who go for 17 kilometers on a regular basis. It doesn't make sense. Then we then offer the scholar transport, but it's also on the same wavelength that government department must not work in silos, because we'll find that Department of Transport, we can take and tell you the panel, but it will take us another 30 years before we address the backlog in terms of infrastructure, because this is a moving target. It means that if Department of Transport can't build all the tight roads, Sandal must also contribute. Infrastructure section in the presidency must also say that, okay, for these backlogs, you probably need 200 billion. Okay, why don't you allocate some of your assets, some of your bonds, as what we could utilize as the collateral? You can then give them this 50 billion. What you can able to do in 10 years' time, you start right now so that you enhance the scope and all those things. So we are also planning at that level, which is why when we do this strategic planning, we must be forward-thinking, take into cognizance that the global warming is here, take into cognizance that the CPI is increasing on a monthly basis. By the time we allocate a scope of a project in Jozini 5 years down the line, a project that is going to be worth 2 billion, it's already 7 billion, and you can't even afford as the missing target. So it is our duty that we assist. We do collaborate, we've worked with some SNTF and public works in what we regard as really serious bridges, those pedestrian bridges that are designed that in a river. I'm sure we have a vision that in 5 years to come, you must not think about KZN and think about little girls crossing a river in summer, suffering. They must take off everything. So that's something that it must not happen in the near future. And we must preserve the legacy of what Madiba fought for, of what he talked about, of building a nation that is diverse, but that enhances the scope of guaranteeing all the matters of development. We are the government, there is a caring government that must assist. So this department has that duty of ensuring that the infrastructure layout and the GDP growth in the province of KwaZulu-Natal will be as a result of this department as an anchor and the catalyst department.
Emisi, what do you mean you're going to be focusing on creating jobs? Are these jobs that are sustainable? Are these the kinds of jobs that are going to be small, sort of, you know, periodic type of jobs? And how are you going to do that if you are not in control of the tender? The tender belongs to Entrepreneur X.
The reality is that it's true that the government is an enabler. But the type of government we envisage, and in a developmental stage, we cannot just say that we are going to enhance only the scope and enable, but you must also intervene. Yes, create a conducive environment for business to thrive. But if business, the private sector, is doing what they do best, they'll only maximize the profit. It means that you must then tailor-made a specific intervention that even as I'm giving you this tender, you must also set aside this amount. I'm just going to follow that. If you have said that in the bill of quantity you are going to employ probably 2,000 people at the end of this project, I must also monitor that on a regular basis. There must be a key performance indicator. So it's what we must do. But as government alone cannot just create and also address the unemployment on its own. It will take the private sector. It will take investment wing. And investors are always looking for a specification. So the country must be well developed. People must be warm. The issue of the laborers, they must be active and all those things. So we are also harnessing that scope that we must build the moral ethos, the ethos of those who are going to work, who are going to be stronger in terms of portrait understanding that we are coming from a background of being deprived in terms of opportunities. Now the government is giving us the space. Let us also contribute positively in developing our nation so that at the end our kids are going to be supplied, our kids are going to be protected, and eventually we build what we call national democratic society where everyone would have a shelter, would have access to health care and other spectrum that are going to be defined in a normal setup and in a normal world.
Your strategy of trying to end monopoly, you spoke about it earlier, of the few construction companies that hold big tenders and are only a handful. What does that mean? Are you going to have to review some of those tenders? You know, it may be a difficult process because they may take you on legally. It will be costly. What are you planning to do there?
Just imagine, Pamela, the Department of Transport, this financial year, we've got 13 billion. It means that probably operational capital budget, what we'll have spent on the ground at the end of the financial year, is that 11.5 billion. Imagine if you only focus on those with CIPP 9 and CIPP 8. You can't change the outlook of empowerment using that as a barometer that we must select. For instance, you'll find that in the past, you say that, Paul, why don't you give one service provider a billion-rand project? We have stopped that. At most, give them 200, 350 million, but on top of that, we still allocate that 30%. Yes, we will change. We've got what we regard as a panel. In the panel, there are those who will be the panel for research, for maintenance, and for re-graveling. So it will be easier that even an emerging contractor will be able to start a plant by grader, by TLB, by a tipper truck and have that for re-graveling, because even at the level of engineering, technical design are not that complicated. You could still do it with level 6 or with level 5, with level 7, and with proper monitoring. On the same breath, we've taken a resolution that each project that we will do as Development Transport, the MEC, that we are speaking to currently, say that we are referring to a strategy of development. Each project must produce, at the end, a civil engineer, a graduate. Each project must also at least produce a project manager or a qualified quality surveyor or an environmental specialist. This is the only way that we are going to develop a scope that we accept more graduates, and we create a scope where people will say that this is the department where I could come and take and play a role as well, because you know that in this department, a long time ago, the chief engineers were only minorities, the white in particular.
Mm.
The engineers, they'll be developing the department, and as you might know, that the professional, the registered, those who have a PR, will only be coming with that experience, and in the professional bodies, it has not been transformed. So we want to have more Africa participating and designing and changing these rules at the same time.
And maybe just quickly, MEC, for me, explain how you want to implement that. Is that by way of bringing in people for internship, or are you saying that you're going to be funding these people to come out on the other end from scratch, being funded by the department? At which stage are you going to pick up these students to get them to the level that you're speaking of?
We do offer bursaries on a year-to-year basis, but we want to drive a strategy in our skills revolution.
Mm-hmm.
We want to utilize the strength of the local tertiary institutions. You've got the University of Natal, you've got Mabosuit, you've got DUT.
Mm-hmm.
You must just go to their engineering department, partner with them, take the best of those so that they don't have to wait for application that when I finish, and some of them study for internship and all those things. So we're in that stage that let us blend, work with them, partner with them. At the end, when I graduate, it will be easier. Some are going to be absorbed by the department, and others will get better opportunities. So we want to create that scope that they could just fly at the end, but government as a pillar to enhance what must be done on the ground. In that way, it will be a nice legacy project for us.
And as you're saying, they would be absorbed by the department, not necessarily the company that's been given the tender.
Some will be absorbed by the department.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, you know that they'll be poached by the private sector,
sure,
which is not a problem
in
for
the
us.
End, of
as
course.
Long as we have contributed in their development, we are compatible with it.
All right. Really appreciate your time. All the best, MEC. MEC Sboniso Duma, who is MEC of Transport in KZN. They had a two-day strategic planning session just to talk about things that needed to be improved. They brought in old MECs. They brought in some academics just to clarify what has to be done to move this project forward. Lots of talk about construction that has to happen. Lots of talk of bringing in new entrants into the construction of roads. And of course, you know, he's just mentioned the fact that young people would have to be brought in as well to qualify as engineers and so on in the space of roads and transport.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.